Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Listen, I have a really exciting announcement.
Tell me!
I'm going down to Alabama.
Sorry.
And I am going to adopt all of the fetuses that are in Petri dishes in the freezers because, you know, Alabama just said that they're children. They are legally children.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to go down and adopt all of them.
And then you're going to start in your very own TLC show?
That's right. It's going to be called Daisy Plus
a Billion.
Daisy Plus a Billion. Actually, I'm going to foster them so I can get a paycheck for each one of them from the government.
Uh-huh.
Because that's actually one of the only ways the government actually pays you to have children. And I'm also going to be referring to Monty from now as my extra uterine child.
Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey.
Yay!
Everyone is just like, you know what? Not today. Not today. It's been going great. Not today.
Not today.
Hi, mother of a million, Daisy Egan. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm about to be real tired because I'm going to have a whole brood here. And I'm also going to have to get a bigger freezer. But terrific. How are you?
I'm really great and fine and good and great.
Yeah.
Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, a Love is Blind recap podcast. You've caught us right in the middle of a marathon of season 6. But the good news is, this drop, we only have 3 episodes. So I'm going to wedge some sleep in there at some point. That'll be fun.
It's only 3? Oh, good.
Yeah. Daisy, you were getting blood work this morning. Is that to figure out why you so sleepy?
Yeah, all the time I'm so sleepy. I
always so tired.
Yeah, they have to pull all the blood out of me and they yell at it, wake up! And then they put it back in.
You had no more blood?
No, I'm all drained out.
it's just like a skin suit. What happened to her? Her blood is drained, so she's got no more.
She's all done.
Just like a blanket of Daisy's skin.
She's draped over my bones.
Daisy. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. She got her blood drained again.
You know what? I would finally be skinny enough for Hollywood, so that would be nice.
Oh, you're so skinny because you have no blood.
I'm just a skeleton with a skin bag on it.
This is fun. We're fun.
Yeah. 9:30 in the morning is a look for us.
We have recorded at every section of time of the day you could possibly imagine.
Except for like 3 a.m. We should do that next.
I think, why not? We have our, what are they called, backstage beauties here with us.
Uh-huh.
You're here on the Patreon, obviously. If you're not, somebody has hijacked, what do you call it, hacked this thread. But the people who get to sit backstage, we give them like 10 minutes notice.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're texting. What time should we record? 9:30? Should we invite everyone? I mean, it's 9:15, but yeah, see what people are doing.
Yep, it is accurate. We want to make a very actual exciting announcement, which is that Crimes of the Centuries, our amazing Pulitzer Prize-winning colleague Amber Hunt's wonderful true crime podcast, is now a part of Grab Bag Collab. Pew, pew, pew,
pew.
So that's really exciting. Eventually on the $8 tier, you'll be getting early episodes with no ads. And then it'll be released on the regular place for all the peasants. So
can you imagine if you called your tier that, peasants?
I think we have to do that now. The $5 tier is just peasants.
One of my richest friends, and I can say that because his whole identity is around being rich, but in a funny way. Do you know Micah Schiffman? I feel like you guys would have crossed paths.
You know everybody. I know nobody.
Daisy, you literally know everyone. Everyone knows you. You just don't have a good memory. It's because you're sleepy. He FaceTimed me last night. I opened the FaceTime and he goes, where are your Instagram Love is Blind recaps? I said, I have a podcast now. Watch it there. And he goes, is it one of those pay ones? I said, yes, honey. Do you need me to Venmo you $5?
That's how rich people stay rich. They don't pay for shit.
It's hilarious. He's so rich.
My mother's cousin was very wealthy and she was single. And, she, you know, we had her take care of the wine for my mom's memorial service. And she handed us the bill at my mom's memorial service.
Okay. You know, I'm a frugal Fanny. I love a deal. I love a bargain. But there's a very big difference between frugal and cheap. Cheapness gives me pucker butt. It makes me so uncomfortable when people are cheap. Like, if that were to be a situation, I would, like, grab the receipt and be like, I'll pay. I get such secondhand embarrassment when people are cheap. What is it?
You know what? I bet you $1 million that the Germans have a word for it. The Germans have a word for everything. There's got to be a word for, like, secondhand cringe because of someone's bad fucking behavior.
It's such an ugly trait. And it's not about money. Class isn't the right word. At your mom's, my face is hot right now.
Yeah.
That is so uncomfortable. You know what else is uncomfortable? So many scenes in this episode.
So many.
I needed to lay down.
Yeah.
I took too much of an edible last night. I just want everyone to know I'm a little bit groggy. So if I'm not on my game, it's because I'm not funny or talented, but also maybe a little stoned. Season 6, episode 7, Silence Speaks Volumes. No, it doesn't. It doesn't speak at all.
I need to send them a letter about some of this editing in this episode because they're punking all of us now.
They are the pettiest bitches. I'm a petty ass bitch, don't cross me. I'm a petty ass bitch, don't cross me. Okay, we left off in the DR and the first thing we see is Jimmy apologizing. Daisy, before we get into this episode,
yeah,
I have a certain image to uphold. It's not a great one, but it's an image.
Mm-hmm.
I finished this episode last night. I'm not giving a spoiler. I just thought to myself, who am I? Who am I?
24601.
Thank you. Because all of the men this season are what?
I'm having the same existential dilemma that you are.
They are so accountable. There's not like a bad dude on this season.
Yes.
And the women are out here embarrassing me.
Yeah.
You know I don't like talking shit about women unless they fucking deserve it. I feel like this is going to affect my brand.
I know. I was like, why am I feeling sympathy for all of these fucking jabronis? I do have a feeling that we're going to be proven wrong shortly.
Barry in the chat says Jimmy is a bad dude. I don't think he is. Every time he apologizes, he gets more money put into his 401k. We start this episode and he's apologizing for Chelsea having a hissy fit. He says, I'm very sorry. I never wanted to hurt you. I never want to make you sad. I want everything in your life to be good. You're pretty. You're kind. You're everything. I'm sorry. I'm shit. You're great. Do you forgive me? What is happening?
Chelsea says, great, I forgive you. Just kidding. No, she doesn't.
No, she doesn't. She made a funny.
Okay, but I need you to hear me. I need you to hear me out when I'm sad. I had a hard day.
And then she calls him hard-headed. He's like, mm-hmm. yep, hard-headed. I'm horrible.
That's me.
You're pretty. I'm shit on the bottom of your shoe. I'm sorry. You're good. I am so uncomfortable.
Then they tell each other that they love each other with their whole hearts. Whatever. I wish there were a way for us to, you know what we should do? I wish we could hear their actual inner monologues.
I agree. Because Ashley said in the chat what I said yesterday, that he's trying hard to convince himself that he finds her attractive. Yes, I said that yesterday. Whenever we recorded the last episode. Was it yesterday? Was it last week? Who is it?
So it was in a different dimension.
Is it 2020? I have no idea. Yes. The reasons behind the apology. Anyway, I'm circling the airport.
Ellen, did I tell you the bad news?
So much bad news, but which one of isn't now?
That I had to let go of my cleaning lady because I couldn't afford it anymore.
Listen, it's a really big expense, but I actually consider my cleaning person part of my mental health. And here's the thing, a clean home or business is actually not a luxury. It's sort of a basic necessity in the times we're living in.
I agree, and my house falling into disrepair is really proof of that.
So let us tell you about a small business in Austin, Texas called Scrub Hub. It is a locally owned and locally dedicated cleaning company in Austin, Texas. And basically, it was started by a former HR executive who was not able to find cleaning companies that were affordable, but also cared about the community and gave back.
most of the local cleaning companies had been driven out by big corporate companies who weren't even in the area. And she realized that, you know, it's important to have somebody in the community.
ScrubHub ATX's founder combined cleanliness and professionalism, which then results in healthier, happier, and a cleaner community. Because here's the thing, whether you have an office building or a medical facility, or let's say an Airbnb property or your own home, ScrubHub guarantees that so fresh and so clean feeling in every room that you enter. And I also always love a company that gives back. Tell them how they give back, Daisy.
ScrubHub is offering one free cleaning a month to a community member in need. This is a pro bono cleaning service, and it's meant to help people get back on their feet and to live in the clean home or office that everybody deserves.
And like I said before, it is truly not a luxury, because there are people fighting mental health battles or being a single mom or just working so much because we are all doing our best. ScrubHub is there to help you. So if you or someone you know needs a pro bono cleaning service in Austin, please reach out to ScrubHub via their website, scrubhubcleaningatx.com, or you can DM them on Instagram or Facebook at ScrubHubATX.
And all Grab Bag Collab listeners will receive 15% off their first ScrubHub ATX cleaning and a discount code for the local businesses ScrubHub partners with, like local dog walkers and more. So you can find them at scrubhubcleaningatx.com or on Instagram and Facebook at ScrubHubATX.
If you have never felt the added mental health benefits of having that extra set of hands clean your home, please treat yourself. And if you are in that area, please give ScrubHub a shout. They are absolutely amazing, giving back and helping people. We love you, ScrubHub.
We love you.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Brittany and Ken.
Brittany are debriefing. He brings up that AD asked about Brittany's ability to raise black children. And Brittany's like, okay, like, I hope that came from a good place. Was that like a place of actual concern, or was it just being judgy? This is the most head-on conversation they've had about race and being in an interracial relationship that we have seen them have. They're really facing it with a clear head. She says that she really respects AD's position. And, you know, and he's like, look, when we go back into the real world, my people are going to have concerns and they're going to have questions, and that's the way it's going to be.
Brittany's kind of really grown on me.
Yeah.
She is only 24 years old. Other than the fact that she keeps saying the word identify, we'll get into that. I think she is a really kind-hearted. I think she goes into conversations listening. She listens a lot. She's a good lady. I really like Brittany. I think she's fair because she asked the hard question, which was, I hope that was coming from a good place. I hope she wasn't being gossipy. And once Ken assured her, she was like, great, then absolutely. I thought it was such a fair conversation.
I agree. And he says, look, once I tell my people that we're good, we're good. And she's like, okay, so what does that mean for you? Which is another great question. Like, what does it mean for you to, like, what would that take? And he basically just says, for your actions to match your words.
If you're like, your family, your friends are coming to you and they're like, are y'all good? Like, that's what you said. You were like, are y'all good? What would make you feel confident in us being good?
Your question.
Like, what would identify good to you?
I know that you're confident in this.
Uh-huh.
And you don't have any, like, you are used to, like, dating black men.
Uh-huh.
I can hear you say that to me.
Right.
But when I'm able to see you, like,
you have to see it
in the world,
uh-huh,
like, that's the thing.
Actions aligning with words.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good at that. Pretty good at that.
And I agree. I think that's a very grown-up conversation that they have. And they're gonna have these conversations. Listen, I haven't watched ahead. We'll talk more about it as the episode. I'm really getting can we just be friends vibes, but I don't know.
From Kenneth?
From both of them. I don't know, because we'll get to it. We'll get to it. It's a grown-up conversation. It's a fair conversation. And I feel like a lesser person would have gotten very defensive, and Brittany didn't.
Yeah, I agree.
She's really honestly nailing it. She's nailing a lot of things. However, what do you think she means by identify? To me, it feels like she's really trying to be careful with her words, which is okay. Because listen, I always say the far left is as toxic as the far right. And you don't want the far left fucking dragging you for filth about something you said wrong. So it feels like an over careful way to talk. But she does say it a lot, bless her.
She says it almost every time, you know, she says, I identify as a white woman, you identify as a black man. I don't know, it's weird.
I feel like she read a How to Be Anti-Racist pamphlet somewhere, maybe at the doctor's office.
Maybe.
And it really sunk in, which is fine. It just feels to me like, girl, you're doing too much.
Yeah. I have two people I have known in my life who both presented as very white. Like, you wouldn't know at all that there was anything other than white in their background. And one of them identifies as a black woman. Well, her dad is black.
Are they black? Because there are black people without a lot of melanin.
What I found interesting about this woman, she was sort of angry in general. She was sort of mad at everybody all the time. And I had this feeling about her that, like, it's like she was like daring people to be racist toward her so that she could blow up at them. But it was like, nobody would know. Nobody would know that you have a black father. You look as white as me. And I think part of her rage was that, like, she didn't get to have that part of her rage. You know what I mean?
Rage farming.
Yes.
There are people as white as you that are black.
Yeah.
It's there. It's out there for sure. I see them on TikTok, so it must be real. So then Amy and Johnny are on horses. Spoiler alert, that's going to be the most exciting thing about this couple. Talk about the most unproblematic, boring, I forgot you were there couple. I love them, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah, but there's not a lot of shit to show right now.
There's not a lot of there.
So Jimmy and Chelsea go ATV riding. Clay and AD are in an open...
Those aren't ATVs, my love.
Oh, I don't know.
Those are dune buggies or something. Those aren't ATVs. ATVs are four-wheelers. Look at me being the lesbian in this duo.
Are there not four wheels on a dune buggy?
It's different. I just like being better than you, knowing stuff. I know a lot of things.
Take it when you can get it.
Yeah.
Clay and AD are in a Jeep. Clay wants red light kisses. Whatever. I didn't know that was a thing. Oh, yeah, I love red light kisses. You like red light kisses? I love red light kisses. What?
And Brittany and Kenneth are on a catamaran.
We'll get back to that.
I know, but they do the little...
Yeah, yeah. Little
they
montage.
They do the little, look at our adventure day.
Fun dates. Yeah.
But it's always the same. Like, the Netflix people were like, okay, we'll do scuba diving? What else? Should we do zip lining? Like, they have a list of things that they can do, and they do it all the time. Should we do the horseback riding again? We haven't done that in a season. Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They have their list of fun daytime dates. So Jeremy and Laura are having, like, a picnic on a dock, and she tells us that he iced her out last night. He slept on the couch, and she tells Jeremy that she never, ever wants to be embarrassed by something her partner says, ever.
Daisy, it's triggering.
Uh-huh.
It's triggering for her, so.
Oh, it triggers her. Well, you know what? Good luck.
Laura starts off this conversation completely willing and able to play victim for a situation that she herself orchestrated. And then Jeremy says this.
Am I going to be perfect? No. I'm going to fuck up. But if I fuck up, I need to handle it a hell of a lot better than I handled it last night, because you didn't deserve the silent treatment that you got last night. And I know that's not the way to handle shit. And I knew that, and I still did it, and it was wrong, and all I can do is just fix it.
Okay. Fair enough.
Laura says, I don't know what happened.
Do you want to watch it? Because it's on tape.
I know what happened. Should we?
We can roll it back.
I can play, roll. Should we roll tape?
You're going to watch it.
We can all watch it together. You embarrassed him, left him high and dry, took no accountability for your part.
None.
In that part of the... You don't know what happened? That's so weird, because everybody here knows what happened.
And then she says, listen, if I ever tell you a thing that was something from a different thing...
That I tell you...
that I tell you.
You need to know when I'm telling you.
Because that was obviously a joke. Like, I never in a million years thought you would repeat it.
Because I told it to you and you need to know.
And I probably said, tell AD you're going to give her a bean dip.
But then you should know.
But you should know that I didn't mean that in a million years. That's on you. That is on you.
How did you not know that? I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say. Because I didn't do anything. You.
Listen, I shared with you an apparently very private thing. And you didn't understand. We've known each other for 2 days.
2 full days.
You don't know yet when I'm telling you something that's private that I'm telling you. Don't repeat it, even though I said repeat it. You don't know that I don't mean that?
Listen, that's on you, brah.
That's on you.
Now, I don't know why Jeremy thinks he needs to give this apology, but he gives a great fucking apology. Let me just say, I think they were mutual assholes. They were mutuals.
He over-apologizes. He takes blame for the entire Israel-Gaza thing is on my shoulders.
Yeah.
Everything in Mariupol is on my shoulders. The Ukraine-Russia situation.
Feel like I had something to do with World War II.
It's all on my shoulders.
It's all on me. Not for nothing, that's what getting over an argument can look like. But he is accountable. He is humble. He literally raises his hand and said, I fucked up. You are a goddess. I am wrong. You are right. I love you. I worship the ground you walk on. He just continues the apology. This woman, I don't know if I'm using this word right, or maybe it's not a PC word. I'm sure my daughter will tell me. Is browbeating? She's like browbeating him. Am I using that word right?
Yeah. She's henpecking him. I mean, I'm sure henpecking we don't say anymore, but who cares? She's browbeating him.
Because he gives this beautiful apology, and she's like, yeah, but. No, babe. No.
She fucking pulls a Chelsea. He says, do you still like me? And she's like, yeah, but.
She is so exhausting. Jeremy is groveling and she insists on making him essentially repeat his apology over and over. This man can't say I am wrong enough. I don't understand what's motivating this conversation to continue.
Yeah, she says this weird word salad-y roundabout. She's like, if something happens in the real world, I would have been like, nope, and removed myself. And I'm like, I don't know what you think you're getting across, but that's actually what he did. He removed himself.
I just don't understand Laura's endgame. He's already apologized, given you compliments. What do we want here?
He's given her sunshine.
Pretty much.
He's given her dirt. Then she says him not talking to her made her think that he was pissed. So then she was pissed. And once again, he's like, you did nothing wrong. You did nothing wrong. You did nothing wrong. And she's like, yeah. She could have easily said, like, you know what? Maybe I could have been clearer that I didn't want you to repeat the bean dip thing. Or, like, maybe I got tequila angry. Nothing. She's like, yep, it was all on you. Yep.
And he apologizes for leaving. Listen, I have a flight mode like you wouldn't believe. I understand it. When I feel uncomfortable. And you know what? The emotion of embarrassment is so visceral, feeling embarrassed. And he was so embarrassed. And he said, I felt like I wanted to leave. I felt like I wanted to go home. And I get that because sometimes I'm like, put me on any mode of transportation anywhere that's not here is where I want to be.
Yes. Yes. Me too. She says what happened last night is not it. And I'm like, girl, people fight. Couples fight. You know, sometimes you need a night just to, like, be by yourself, be in your feelings, be in your hurt. You're gonna fight. It's okay. It's how you come back from it that matters, and you are not good at coming back from it. He apologizes again. Then she asks how they stack up against the other couples. And I'm like, I hate that question. It's not a fucking competition. He's like, well, I think we're one of the top. And she's like, one of? And he's like, I think we're the top. We win.
I'm sorry I even said that. I'm sorry I said one of. I'm sorry I didn't put it in a positive. Are you going to hit me? Daisy, I actually know this next sponsor, The Wax Wing.
You do?
Yes. They have been a listener of I Think Not. Did you know I have another podcast?
No, I've never heard of it.
And I became acquainted with their unique products a couple years ago.
The Waxwing is an online boutique. It was established in 2012, completely woman-owned, and it is a curated collection of gifts, handmade items, and they are all from local and international artisans. Even if you are not looking for a gift for anyone right now, go check out their website. It is so beautiful and inspiring.
Oh, so it's not like bikini waxes. It's like candles and home skincare.
I mean, maybe if you ask nicely, they could give you a bikini wax, but
I'll get a bikini wax from anyone.
It's all kinds of gift sets. They have a happy birthday gift box that includes a candle, make-a-wish matches, pastel candles. They truly have something for everyone. A couple Christmases ago, I got a bunch of baby gifts, gifts for my mom. They have jewelry. Go and check them out. Everything is so inspiring, beautiful, and unique. I always struggle to find unique gifts that you can't get at someplace like Target or Walmart, right?
That's right. I love giving handmade gifts from local and international artisans. Many of the products are eco-friendly. I just like supporting things that are small business and not like some big ass thing you can get at Yankee Candle.
Exactly. And Waxwing is giving our Grab Bag listeners such a generous discount. If you use the code Grab Bag, you will get 35% off your first order. That is so generous. Please check them out. At the very least, give them a follow on Instagram. You might see something pop up one day that you absolutely have to have. You can find them at The Wax Wing on Instagram.
We all have friends who love candles. Support a small business and get your beautiful artisan gifts at thewaxwing.com.
As a disclaimer, The Wax Wing does not offer bikini waxes.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
So Johnny and Amy, they're on their horses. They ride to a picnic.
I love horstas.
I love horstas, too.
A horst is a horst, of course.
Of course, of course. When I was little, I used to call them foursies.
Oh, I love it when kids mispronounce words.
Yeah, me too.
To foursie.
I actually have a tape of it, like right here, an audio tape.
It's so
and I say, Mama, to foursie. To foursie ain't the mamo.
When Lola used to call cupcakes popcakes, I never wanted her to know the right word.
Mommy, can I have a pupcake?
Oh. And now she's a cunt.
Yeah.
They have a picnic. Amy says her love for him grows every day. They just sit and compliment each other. They just sit and compliment. You have nice hair. You have nice eyes. They're so cute. I love you. You're nice.
Fuck you! Fuck you and your happiness.
So now Krittany are on a catamaran, and she says she's happy he got to experience the ocean, which is an odd comment because we find out later he has experienced the ocean before.
This baby girl is trying so hard to just keep words flowing. I'm so happy. Look, there's the ocean. I have seen the ocean. Listen, silence is intimate. When you can sit with someone in silence without feeling the pressure or the need to have a conversation, to keep a conversation going, right?
Uh-huh.
Being with someone in silence is comforting. But the silence on this boat, these editors are so fucking petty.
They gave us a full 40 seconds of no music. None of that like,
when you talk. When you don't talk, I feel your heartbeat in my soul.
Nothing. Just the waves and them going do 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 do. And I agree. If I'm on a catamaran, if I'm on the ocean, if I'm on the beach, if I'm in my living room, if I'm at the dinner table, if I am on a train, if I am on a street, shut the fuck up. I want complete silence at all times. So for me, that would be heaven. But Netflix is clearly like, if they could have played crickets...
So the first pass of this scene came through. Like, the first editor did the pass and did some, like, sail away, sail away. And then the senior editor was like, you know what? Take out the music. Take out the music. That's going to add to the take. Just zip it. Nothing. Just
Jim, but it's 40 seconds. You sure for the four? Should we cut it down to maybe 10 seconds?
Yeah, no, take out the music. It was a plan.
You want 40 seconds of just...
No, no.
Okay.
I'm the senior editor. I want this to feel as awkward as shit. I want everyone's buttholes to pucker at about second 20. Because 40 seconds of silence. Daisy, let's have 10 seconds of silence. Ready? Here we go.
That was really uncomfortable.
That was 10 seconds times that by 4. And there is absolutely no connection. There's no chemistry. They are sitting on opposite sides of the boat. It's like they had assigned seats. They're on a field trip and they're like, we're going to go in alphabetical. Here we go. Okay, when I call out your name, these are your seats. They're on opposite sides. They're not touching. They don't look. It is. Oh, my stars. I don't know what medicine I need, but I need something because I don't want it. I don't need it. And he's like, dolphins, something we can talk about. Dolphins.
Yeah. They both at the same moment looking in two different places. She's like, look at the birds. He's like, look at the dolphins.
Daisy, he has a dolphin on his keychain.
Well, he did. He threw it away, but he had one. Yeah, they have a very long discussion about dolphins. He loves dolphins, just in case you all want to know. She's going to go to the boardwalk and she's going to get him his name. You know how they do, like, they'll write your name in pretty calligraphy on a dolphin. He swam with them. He swam?
Mm-hmm. He swummed?
With them in Barbados.
Bahamas.
Oh, I thought he said Barbados. Oh, one of the places with a B that has an ocean.
No, she just doesn't pay attention. No, she doesn't even want to be here. I don't know why. No, she doesn't even... I don't even know if she writes anything down. Nope. She does have a Tony. I know. That's why she... I know. I'll talk to you later.
So then we see them more together. She's got her hand on his thigh. She says, is it okay when I touch you? And he's like, yeah, I like it. And she's like, you could touch me more. And he's like, I can. And she was like, yeah, like she says, at one point I thought you sort of weren't into me because you're not touching me. And he's like, oh, I've been told that I'm too touchy. And she's like, not with me. So you could touch me more if you want.
And then she says that and he's like, cool. And then he just lays down. I feel like the cameramen were given an assignment and they're like, listen up, guys. Whoever creates the most awkward situation gets a $50 gift card to the Cracker Barrel. Okay? There's a lot at stake here. And they were like, yeah. Okay, here we go. There's more awkward silence.
More awkward silence. She seems to be working pretty hard. She's working pretty hard.
She is. She is trying hard. And he says, wow, I thought I was smothering you. I know he's an educated man. He is an educator. Do we have the same definition of smothering, my love?
He's like, remember that one time I touched you that one time? That felt like a lot. That wasn't a lot. That felt like a lot.
And then he says he's been told by people that he's overly affectionate. After the smothering, he's not only smothering, he is overly affectionate. There are some people that listen to this podcast that don't watch the show, which is hilarious. You need to go back and watch this scene. I have never prayed something get stung by a bee. Are there icebergs in the DR? I am praying for a Titanic situation. Anything. I want somebody do something. Have an allergic reaction. Slip and fall.
Yeah, something.
Anything. I have never prayed for an accident. I've never prayed, but I was praying for an act of Mother Nature.
And also, I would imagine that if I'm telling you that I thought you weren't into me because you're not touching me enough, and then you tell me you've been told in your life you're too affectionate, I'm just going to spiral harder. I'm going to be like, oh, he usually touches people a lot and he never touches me. So that's it for me, I guess.
So now we're with Clay and AD.
Oh, boy.
My journey with Clay... I feel very, can I call myself a doctor? I feel like I'm a doctor.
You are a lawyer, so you might as well be a doctor.
I watched a scene on TikTok from an upcoming episode. I don't know which one. I always say I hate it when people say they have OCD or ADHD and they just diagnose themselves because of a personality quirk. But I have some information.
Okay.
It is completely unsubstantiated, but I'm still calling it information. I'm saying my opinion is information. And I have that right because I have a microphone.
Obviously.
I think he's neurodivergent. I think he might be on the autism spectrum. And I have a lot of reasons to back up. I have research.
I would not be tremendously surprised. I think that at the very least, he has some sort of anxiety disorder.
Yeah.
So they sort of have small talk about Massachusetts, the ocean, footballs. They talk about telling their family, you know, about each other and how that's going to be. Clay is very excited to get his soup, and he gets his soup, and he is all about that soup. And let me tell you something. I love soup. I love soup.
I love soup.
Yeah, we both have so much in common. We both love soup.
I love it so much. I could eat soup breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Don't fuck with me when I've got my soup. I love a cream-based soup. I love a vegetable soup.
Yeah, I love a cream-based. Cream-based is my favorite. Are Hale and Hearty, is that a chain?
Yeah.
Their loaded baked potato creamy soup, I would sell my house.
I love Hale and Hearty. And then I noticed like Hale and Hearty's around the city were closing and I was fucking devastated. There's not enough places in Rhode Island that are just like devoted to soup. But we have an ice cream place here. And in Brooklyn, they opened Luigi's Italian Ice Shop. And it's open in the summers. And then in the winters, it's soup. You just walk by and you get
a soup bar.
Oh, my God. And I told the people here at the ice cream shop, I was like, you should have a soup shop in the fucking winters. I would be there every day.
Can someone give us a timestamp on how long we've talked about soup?
40 seconds.
And people pay for this content. Well, you all are the problem, not us. I have a couple things to say. The way I feel like I am psychoanalyzing this show, two things.
Yeah.
Now that apparently this is a Clay Stan account,
mm-hmm.
notice how his body language, he's always leaning in
mm-hmm.
to receive her information. He's constantly asking questions. And he's also an active listener.
Yes, he is.
When she says something, he's like, okay, yeah. It is so interesting because AD is leaning back and he is leaning forward.
Yeah.
And he asks questions. He was asking questions about the Patriots. He was asking questions about her dancing. Listen, he's fucking housing that soup. He is making love to that soup. Don't get me wrong.
That soup is going to have to take a pregnancy test after he's done with it.
Yeah, they have a lovely house in the Hamptons. But he's engaged with her.
He is very engaged. And he also likes to show her that he has been listening to her. He likes to repeat things back. Yeah, because I heard when you said the blah, blah, blah. I completely agree. And maybe it is because he's on the spectrum, or maybe he just is really good at listening.
I think he's trying
yeah.
to be a better person. Honestly, I'm going to call my doctor real quickly. Hey, can you fit me in for an emergency session? Yeah, no, great question. I've been defending men a lot. Yeah, I've been taking their side. Does that make me a pick me? I need to talk about it. I've been in front of a microphone for people to listen. I've been defending men. Great, thank you. 2 o'clock, perfect. What is wrong with me?
What is the difference between somebody who's just a good listener and someone who's masking? How do you know?
Great question. I don't know.
So then he's done with his soup and he proceeds to organize the dishes. Again, the editors are not fucking around this season. They're like, if you're going to do something in front of the camera, you better be ready because we are going to show every fucking second of it.
He is bussing that table like he picked up a part-time job at the resort.
We have a joke in our house where it comes out of nowhere, but we'll be sitting at the table and we'll all just start just like gently arranging everything on the table.
So it'll funny.
That is what was happening. And her eyes, when she's watching him, she's like, what is
like that. She's
happening?
Like...
She's like glitching.
Go with me on this journey.
Okay.
It could be obsessive, nervous anxiety because there's some nervous energy.
Sure.
But it could also come from a place of not thinking he's good enough.
Yeah.
And trying to come up to her level.
Yep.
I don't know. It's kind of green flaggy for me, this behavior, because he's organizing, or is he being respectful to the bussers? I find myself doing that because I've worked in restaurants where you're just like, let me do this, or you wipe off the table so you don't look like a fucking goblin that just ate your cake with your hands. Whatever it is, that behavior doesn't sit well with AD. There's some silence, and she says, "What are you thinking?" And he says, "I'm worried about letting you down."
Yeah, and she does not take this well. This conversation is very strange because to me, that is a perfectly reasonable thing to say. For somebody who has admitted that he has trouble talking about his feelings, he has trouble being vulnerable, for him to say that, that's fucking huge. And if it were me, I would be like, "Wow, tell me more." And she's like, "What? So now you're saying..." That was a huge switch. You go from all of a sudden you just turn around and say, "I'm going to let you down." And he's like, no, I'm saying I'm worried that I am going to let you down. She is not taking it well.
I have a lot to say about this conversation. Amber, can we make this a two-parter? I have a lot to say. First of all, I think she probably has an anxious attachment style.
Okay.
And a lot of times your reaction to being uncomfortable with an anxious attachment style can be to go to anger. Because you can get really defensive. I think him saying that piques her anxiety and then she gets upset. And I want to find another word other than triggered, but I feel like she gets triggered and he's in his head. And she sort of said, "Well, this conversation came out of nowhere." And I think that, first of all, it's a really honest answer. We're going to have another conversation about this at the end of the episode. And he says, "I'm worried about letting you down." He could have said, nah, baby, you're beautiful. Let's go into the water.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. He chooses to have the conversation.
And what's odd to me is that she has been so therapy talk from before this moment, listening and being open and let's talk about it and blah, blah, blah. And then this is such an out of character, as far as we know.
Agree.
Response. And if she is being triggered, you would think, given what we know of her, that she'd be like, "Oh, wow, I'm feeling triggered right now." You know what I mean? Instead of just getting so defensive. Now, I need to say something.
Do it. You have a microphone.
I do. In the middle of this conversation, I'm watching them. I look at the screen and I'm like, "That's weird. Is there something wrong with my TV?"
Hmm.
It looked like there was a line down the center of the screen. And then in the next shot, it was gone. So I was like, "That's weird." So I rewound and I saw it again. And then it went away. And I rewound, I saw it again. And I watched Clay's hand. He was on the left side of the screen and she was on the right side of the screen. It was a split screen. I don't know why or what they were editing. What was happening on his side and what was happening on her side were two different moments in that conversation. I must have watched it 10 times.
So you think it was an editing thing?
It was 100% an editing thing because I started watching his hand that was toward the screen and you can see his like thumb or whatever goes off the screen a little bit. It doesn't match up.
Guess what? I'm a doctor. You're a detective. Look at you.
But what do you think was happening that they felt they had to edit it that way? Like what was...
They have the $50 gift card at stake. So I feel like they were, honestly, do what you need.
But now I need to go back and watch all of it. The whole fucking series again and just see, like, are they split screening this shit?
Start over. We're gonna start from one. We're starting from one.
And you know what? Remember last time we recorded, I said we should do one where we just edit people together from different seasons?
Yeah. More on those kinds of conversations later. Now, Brittany and Ken are at home. They all have their phone, home movie things.
Yeah. She says that he's OCD like her because it keeps it neat and tidy, which made me think of you. I know you love that.
Right.
Johnny and Amy are having a good time. Fine, who cares? Jimmy and Chelsea are making mimosas and just being wacky.
I just wrote, Laura and Jeremy are getting ready. He showers her with compliments. He's like, "You're pretty. You're nice. I love your shirt. I love that color. I love your hair. Please don't hit me."
And she's like, "This shirt? Why? This shirt? You like this shirt?"
I don't know what is in store.
Jimmy and Jeremy are going to have to, they're going to have to go to an isolation tank after this and just have some shut down for a little bit.
We're not even halfway through this episode.
Fuck. Clay and AD are in their glasses. He says he's got fierce morning breath. He knows he has to brush his teeth before he talks. That's great.
He should invest in a tongue scraper.
Yeah, they're having another beach hang because the other one went so well. Let's do that again. Laura, Chelsea, and AD are telling each other that they've all fucked now. Although, it is a little unclear. Chelsea sort of dances around it.
Oh no, they've all fooked.
You think? All right. AD and Jimmy, again, it's as though he has not learned his lesson. He's sitting with AD and he said it caused a fight last night, but it ended up working out well. And AD's like, great. I'm glad that my ass helped you and your fiance fuck. That's wonderful.
The good news is, though, AD and Jimmy were sitting talking. First of all, I loved AD's bathing suit, that magenta thing. Super cute. Mm-hmm. But the good news is they were talking and Chelsea kept her lunch down.
She did. She didn't have to puke.
She didn't have to puke. Look at that. That's adorable.
That's so good. So then Laura drips some cold water on Jeremy's balls. Laura and Johnny are debriefing and she's like, you guys, you and Amy are incredible. That sexual tension between you, I can tell that you guys have fucked. And he's like, actually, we haven't. So then they have a long discussion about birth control. Men are so stupid.
Well, he says that they haven't had sex yet because she's not on birth control. And everyone has a different relationship about sex. That's fine. But I just wanted to know if he knew about condoms. Do whatever you want, but
there's things. You get them. They probably have them down.
Sometimes they're free.
They come in a box.
But you put it on your corn cob pipe.
And you put it in her button nose.
And then it gets this, it's like a reservoir tip.
Yeah. And it holds the cum.
And it makes, so what happens is the things that make you pregnant don't go in the inside. And then you also won't have baby. I just want you to know. I just want to make sure you know that it's an option.
When I was in college, I went to the drugstore and bought a box of condoms. And the old lady behind the counter shamed me. She was like, you're too young to be having sex. And I was like, this is a great way to promote teenage pregnancy.
Yeah. You're like, well, my mom died, so there's nobody here to police my vagina. So thank you, Gladys.
Thank you. So now I'm going to go have sex without the condoms because I'm embarrassed. So after this conversation about birth control, Laura says, it really seems like you think things through. Bitch, all he said was, I don't want to fuck her because I don't want to get pregnant yet. That's a pretty standard if A, then B equation. She tells him that I'm obsessed with you guys.
Okay, great.
What? Yeah, like I said, like when I'm pooping on the toilet, I'm thinking about you.
They always do this every season where they're like, all right, guys, we're going to round robin now. All the couples, you need to go to a area, pick a quiet place, mm-hmm. and then you guys need to have conversations about it. And when then, you know, they have like a guy with a stopwatch and a whistle.
It's like speed dating.
It's so staged.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times. Or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months. Or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. initial quality study award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Jeremy is talking to AD, and he basically says, Clay is a really good guy, but sometimes he hits a wall, mm-hmm. and he just shuts down. And that kind of gives AD some relief.
Yeah. She's like, oh, it's not just me.
Right.
Right.
I wrote, maybe he's neurodivergent. I wrote it again.
Maybe he is. Jimmy tells Johnny that he is so in love with Chelsea. I mean, I'm so in love with her. He calls her a babe. Chelsea tells the women that he communicates, like, so well.
Every time Laura is on the screen, I want to get violent. I want to do bad things. I don't even know what the bad things are. Like, if someone were to come to my door when I'm watching Laura and they're like, let's rob a bank. I'm like, I'm in. Like, I just want to do bad things when she's around.
Yeah.
Because they're talking about Jeremy and she was like, he's cute. She says it like she's talking about a fucking bunny rabbit.
Yeah.
She's mean. She's a mean girl. I'm saying that. I'm making a statement. She is a mean girl. You are a mean girl. I was never in a sorority, mm-hmm. but she seems like a toxic sorority girl.
100%.
That doesn't let the poor girl in the sorority or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't like her.
I don't like her either.
She is a mean girl.
Clay and AD have a little moment to connect. It's very sweet. But Kenneth is sort of standing there and like watching them. And then he goes, okay, turn me on. Turn me on. I'm like, Kenneth, that's not appropriate, sweetheart. Oh, boy.
Is he gay?
I know.
I just think everyone's either on the spectrum or gay. What is he? Gay. What is he? On the spectrum. What is he? Probably gay and on the spectrum.
I'm just this armchair doctor. Oh, God. I don't deserve nice things. Okay.
Gay or just autistic. I can't. Do you know that song, Gay or European? Gay?
No. Oh.
From Legally Blonde?
Oh. No.
You what?
I don't want to say this because I know it's your favorite show.
Say what?
I don't want to say it.
No, say it. I'll be fine. Just say it. I'm fine. Say it. I'm happy.
Okay. So I didn't watch MTV for many, many years.
Okay. I don't need a whole fucking backstory. Daisy, say what you were going to say.
Amber's saying that I shouldn't say it.
No. Say it. We're cool. Say it. Say it. We tell each other everything.
I watched the recording of the musical on MTV one afternoon when I was sick. And between what MTV had become and the musical of Legally Blonde, I was mortified for humanity. Sorry.
Oh, no.
Everybody hates me now. Everybody hates me now. I'm sorry.
No, you know what we're going to do? That's what we're going to do. We're going to watch it again.
Okay.
That is a good musical, Daisy. It is a good musical. You're probably in a bad mood. You know what Amber calls you behind your back?
Oh, what is she?
She calls you Bad Mood Daisy.
That's not a very good nickname.
That's what she says. She's like, oh, she texts me and she's like, oh, you're recording with old Bad Mood Daisy. That's what she says to
me. It's not as good as Amber Hump. Yeah. Like, it's just not, so, it's not very.
I am preparing to drag you. And I don't know if drag is AAVE, but if it is, my daughter will tell me. It's a good music. I'm not, you know what? I don't need this fucking toxicity in my life. I'm not, you know what? It's a good fucking musical.
You know what? They were playing it down at the tiny little community theater down the street from us.
It probably was good there too. You know why? The bones of that musical are good. The growth, the character development, the character arc, the change in Elle, the way the music actually furthers the storyline rather than just being there for musical numbers is you know what? Fuck this. Fuck this! We're halfway through this show. You know what? Fucking, you know what? Hunker down. Pray for daylight. Here we go.
All right. We're moving on. We're all going to pretend that that never happened.
Amy and Jen, you know what? You know what? No, she said it right to me. I just heard her say it. No, she said it's recorded. So if you don't believe me, there's so many people in my
I was going to say, Lola should be at school. I could call CPS right now. Jeremy has nothing but really lovely things to say to all the women about their fiancés. He is everyone's hype man. It's very nice. Amy says she's never lived with a guy and her dad is not supportive of this process. She asks how things are going with Laura, and Jeremy gives her a 2 thumbs up. And then he says, I know that Laura can put me in my spot. And she's like, yep, she sure can. Then he says he wants to meet Sarah. And he says, I feel like Sarah and I could be friends outside of this. And Amy basically zips her lip. Amy's like, I have nothing to say.
I don't really like Sarah Ann, but at this point, they're probably a better match. I don't know if I would take MAGA vibes over Laura.
And I don't know what Amy's, if she was like, I fucking hate Sarah Ann, or like, I knew you should have picked Sarah Ann. Like, we don't know what that
silence means. All I know is Laura is a mean girl. I'm going to beat that joke into the ground.
Comedy in threes.
We're in the hotel.
Motel Holiday Inn.
With Jimmy and Chelsea. Does she have a flip lip? She always, like, did she get that lip flip thing? There's a thing where you can do the.
Yeah, I mean, I said early on, like, I feel like she got too much filler in her top lip.
I think it's a flip lip thing. I don't know how they do it. I think they put, like, rubber cement or, and it's like, I think she has a flip lip. Okay. Is that what it's called?
It could also just be that she's got that lip tie thing where her lip is just too tight against her doohickey. I have a confession to make.
You already made the confession, Daisy, about Legally Blonde. We are sitting and watching it. We're watching it all together. Amber, schedule a watch party.
I had a panic shutdown last night and I went to sleep and didn't wake up until this morning. So I have noted up till this scene, but I have watched the whole thing so I can keep up as long as you remind me what's happening.
this is not going to go well for you.
All right.
Have you seen How I Know?
I actually haven't. And this morning I was thinking, like, Ellen should just send me her notes sometimes.
I mean, I just outline. I just go like, boom, 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 boom. I just outline it moment to moment. But yeah. Have you seen, like, my research for when Rabia and I have an episode?
No.
It's like 30 pages.
I'm sure
so
it is.
Fucking sit tight, all right? Go sit with your Tony and zip your lip. I got this. I'm the captain now. I'm out of Adderall, by the way. I have not even taken Adderall today. So here we go. This is what we're going to do. They're debriefing on their week. What's your favorite part? What's your favorite part?
He says, he's like, we had one down. We've had lots of ups. Lots of ups. Oh, boy. It is up.
Johnny and Amy are in the pool, and Johnny says, what's your biggest pet peeve about me? Whatever. They have a chat. They're nerdy and weird. Amy says that she's nervous about the way her dad is going to react to this whole situation.
I feel like one of my biggest lessons that I've had from relationships in the past, mainly in my first relationship, was that I feel like I overshared a lot with my parents, and I feel like they were very involved in my relationship, and I completely learned that that's a no-go.
Yeah.
But I do have that fear that, like, they'll try to involve themselves, especially my dad. I don't think he understands this process at all, because it's not traditional by any means.
Then Amy goes on to say,
if I don't get my dad's blessing, I don't know if I can move forward.
It's not traditional. This is not traditional. What is traditional anymore?
Honestly.
It's not. I don't even know if I like this show anymore. I'm too emotionally invested. I think Johnny can win the dad over. Are you still in your place with Johnny? Has Johnny won you over?
I like him more now than I did. You know, there is still a part of me that's like, does he murder people on the down low? But I like him, and I do think he can win the dad over. And we've heard people say that we've heard people say that before about their parents. Like, if they can't sign off on this, then I can't do it. And I feel like they've gone through with it anyway. So sometimes people are a lot of talk, you know?
And it's the next morning, and we have the contractually obligated selfie videos in all their hotel rooms. They're packing. No one wants to leave.
It's paradise.
Back to reality.
Back to life. Back to reality. Oh, God. Those ticky-tacky, weird-ass fucking townhouses
so fucking
that they put
weird.
Them in, they look like some fucking Monopoly dystopia. It is awful.
It's like if IKEA made houses.
Yes.
And they just put them all together. They just click it together. It's not even with nails. It's just with those little wood pieces that is like, oh, I guess that's going to hold my desk together.
Yeah.
Great. So Jeremy and Laura are packing, and he's checking what he should wear on the plane. And she says, Oh, dear God, please just wear a Henley. I have had to suffer through your Hawaiian shirts this week. This is when this dawned on me. Could you imagine if the tables were turned and it was a man insulting what a woman is wearing? I don't think anyone should be insulting the way anyone dresses or what they need to do. But could you imagine how this man would get dragged if he was judging a fucking woman? She finds it so easy to put him down. I don't love Jeremy in a certain way. I don't have any feelings towards him, but this man would get fired from his job and would have to change his name and move if he insulted the way a woman dresses.
Yes.
Which I agree with. Don't insult the way a woman dresses. But why do you get a fucking pass to insult his clothes every goddamn minute?
You know what? She subscribes to that ridiculous school of, like, women are nags.
Yes.
I know a couple like that in my life. I'm not going to say who they are, but it's like everything he does, she's just like, just shaking her head at him. Every sort of funny joke or ism that he does, she has no patience for it. And it's just like, why did you marry him? You hate every fucking thing about him. Everything that he does, you give him like the no, no, no finger.
Finger wagging, yeah.
Then why did you marry him?
So I know Daisy doesn't know what comes next because she hasn't taken notes, and
I do know.
One time, Joey and I cover that show, Frogging.
Yes.
And there's two episodes. And one day, I noted one episode, and then he goes, and next up, Dirty Laundry. And I went, that doesn't even sound familiar. I just didn't note it. And Joey said, follow me. I was like, no, sir.
You hadn't even watched it?
I hadn't even watched it. I watched one episode and I was like, bleep, done for the day. My brain decided we were done. I hadn't watched it. He goes, follow my lead. I was like, you must be high
yeah.
that you think I'm going to follow your lead on a fucking episode that
you hadn't even watched.
Hadn't even watched.
By the way, do you see that attic door? I'm convinced.
There's a Frogger up there. Yeah. For sure. So everyone, they're on their way back to Charlotte. We're 21 days to the wedding. They all get their phones back. They all moved into these ugly townhouses. Jeremy and Laura are dividing the closet. And he's like, all right, you can have this whole, if I could just have this one, can I use this one hanger? I can just stack all of my, you know what? Honestly, I can go live in the garbage can. I'll go live in the garbage can. You take the apartment. I am so scared of you. I want out, but I'll put my Henleys. And she's like, great, thanks. I love the closet space.
Yeah, everything is your fault. Thanks, got it.
He's like, do you want me to light myself on fire? I can. Should I do that right now? And she says, if Jeremy is messy, they're not getting married.
And then they have another talk. I think they already had this talk in the pods, but they have another talk about how she's like, is there anything that you don't want me to do? And he's like, nope, everything's great. You're perfect. Everything's wonderful. Please don't hit me. And she's like, oh, I...
Put dishes in the sink. Breathe in my space.
Ever.
Talk in my general direction with anything other than approved clothing.
The thing about spitting, she's like, spit into the sink. Don't spit in the general direction of the sink. And he goes, so basically don't act like a barn animal. And she's like, yeah.
She's giving this list. You know that gif of Kermit the Frog at the typewriter?
Yes, I love that one. Rah-ha, rah-ha,
the list of all the things she doesn't want. Or he's writing and like smoke comes off of his pencil. Oh God, and she basically says, act like an adult. And then Jeremy says, I don't know how things can get any better. Is this man on Quaalude?
He has Stockholm syndrome.
It's like, things can't get any better.
I love her.
And this is so good. She's so pretty. She's so nice. She hits me when you all aren't here.
Please help. Blink, 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 blink.
It's so, but I love it here. I love this.
This
I love you.
Great. I'm
How's
glad
my
I did
spitting?
This. I don't know if you saw Jeremy's ex fiance's mother came on TikTok and was like, Jeremy was engaged to my daughter. And everyone's like, ooh, spill the tea. And it's like, all right. I don't think he's mentioned it to Laura. I think that's a problem. But like,
everyone in the chat keeps talking about Jeremy and that he's going to do something horrible. Honestly, I kind of hope he does. At this point, I haven't watched ahead, but people in the chat seem to be really want to let me know that
all
something
right,
happens with
don't,
Jeremy.
Everybody.
Oh,
he
man.
Was engaged when he auditioned. I thought he was engaged. They broke up in 2022.
Josh says he does in big, bold, capital, gay ass letters with exclamation points. Honestly, whatever he does is justified.
Does he put like black dye in her shampoo? Does he put Nair in there?
So Brittany and Kevin are home, and Brittany says, you want me to cook or you want me to get food? And he's like, you have to cook on our first night here.
And she's like, oh, so you get to enjoy our first night here and I don't? But she doesn't actually put up a fight. She's like, okay.
And Ken is on his phone here.
Ken is on his phone the way Ellen is on her phone.
But I'm working.
I'm kidding.
No, but like, I don't. Actually, I have to defend myself. If ever I'm in the company of someone, my phone is either away or face down. I don't sit on my phone when I'm engaging in conversation. I never do that.
His head is inside of his phone.
He has more of a love connection with his phone than he does with Brittany.
He does. And she's walking around going like, do you want the left side of the bathroom or the right side of the bathroom? Do you want the left drawers or the right drawers? Do you want to put your clothes here? Do you want to put your clothes there? Do you want... And he's like, uh-huh. Uh-huh.
She is trying so hard. Can I put this bottle here? If I put this down, is this good? Can I breathe?
Yeah.
She's trying really hard.
She really,
she's really
is.
Trying to like make their home, and she's trying to do it together.
I know, and he's not interested.
That's why that whole cooking thing, I felt like in her mind, she meant like, do you want to cook?
Right.
together.
And then he's like, I'm going to go chill downstairs. And he just walks away.
Yeah, he's like, I know I was diddling on my phone up here. Now I'm going to go diddle on my phone downstairs. He's just clickety-clacketing.
I don't know. He probably told his best friend that he's engaged to a white girl and the woman is like having a coronary over text.
I feel like he's just checked out. Yeah. He clocked out. He left mid-shift and he isn't coming back. It was like when I quit my waitressing job in Boston. I just never went back.
Yeah.
I just never went back. I didn't say anything to anyone. And again, we have the silence. He's kind of just straight up ignoring her. Now, listen, this could be editing.
Yeah.
We're all on our phones. If you didn't have your phone for a week and a half.
Yeah. I would.
I mean, RIP my notifications.
A week and a half. Are you kidding me? They haven't had their phones for a month.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Or 3 weeks.
There's a lot to catch up on. I'll give him the benefit of that doubt. It could be editing. That could be a storyline because, yes, we can all dive into our phones to never return.
Right. So then we go to Clay and AD.
You have that written down?
Clay D. No, I just remember.
Look at you. Who's my little overachiever?
Me.
They do the spoon test on the couch.
And she's like, okay, this is nice. And then she just immediately gets up. I was like, all right.
When we were talking about active listening, this is where AD is telling Clay about her family.
Uh-huh.
She says, I talked to my family today. And he goes, wow. He says, wow. On the telephone? Get out!
You know when you see those videos like Viola Davis loves to post them of like little black boys having black joy? That's what he's like. He's like, I love the rain, mama!
He's so excited. You talk to your mom. So you said words and then she said words on the... Stop it! He says his family is really excited. They can't wait to meet her. And he's really excited for her to meet his family and friends. And he says, you know, they were all shocked that I cried. And then they have a really enlightening and important conversation. The doctor is in. That'll be 5 cents, please. I'm back.
Okay.
Clay talks about how he grew up with a lot of cheating around him. It was normal. He keeps using the word to describe his dad as the word suave. And I realize now that that's code for
cheater.
He was a pig.
Yeah.
He was a dog. He cheated. It was normal. He said he would take me on his infidelity trips.
Oh, God.
I feel like Ken took all of his childhood trauma. He put it in a box.
Yeah.
He put a lock on it. Mm-hmm. He threw it into the depths of the ocean.
Yeah.
And someone went and excavated that shit.
Yeah.
And they opened it for this fucking show.
Wait, Kenneth or Clay?
Clay.
Oh, you said Ken.
Clay. I don't know. I don't even know how I started that sentence.
Wow, that's...
I blacked out.
Racist.
But the normalcy that he talks about being around his dad, who just blatantly cheated on his mom, is so sad.
Yeah.
My dad cheated on my mom. I had 3 full relationships that my mom knew of. The third and the last one was the lead singer of like my dad's midlife crisis band.
What was the name of his band?
The Chiefs.
The Chiefs, not the Cheats.
And I fucking loved her. She was cool. She was pretty.
Oh,
she sang in
mom.
A band. And I loved her.
Please don't tell me her name was Cindy Mosier's mom.
No, her name was Michelle. And my dad would have us hang out with her. But she's the lead singer of his band. They're just besties. You don't know that when you're a kid. And it was like the final affair that was the nail in the coffin that was my parents' relationship. I loved this woman. Can we hang out with Michelle?
Oh...
Yeah, it is so upsetting. Clay is very vulnerable in this conversation.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say? Because I have a million things to say.
Go for it. This is when my anxiety was like, it was bad.
I do think there is a stigma attached with straight cis men holding their emotions in. I can't speak to the black experience, obviously, but from what he's saying that even famous people that he's looked up to in his life, black men that he has looked up to in his life, he has never seen the model of a man with fidelity, right? I don't know when this turned into a Clay Stan account, but here we are. I appreciate his honesty in wanting to show up to be a better man for AD. And he's worried about cheating on her because he has never had a, quote, normal or healthy relationship mirrored back to him. And statistically speaking, people who grow up in volatile homes and grow up with parents that are contentious don't really have successful relationships.
Clearly, he hasn't had a successful relationship, but like he's probably cheated on every woman he's been with.
He's basically saying, I know it's wrong, but I don't know how to live within the parameters of that.
He needs to go to therapy.
Yes, and he does. Like, and I get it because I grew up in a volatile household and I had to learn through trial and error what a good relationship is. And that turned out great, let me tell you. I think that this is a really powerful conversation. It's very earnest. It's very honest. And he's putting out his fears and his lack of knowledge on how to be a good partner.
Yeah.
It just makes me respect him more. Again, I cannot believe I have gone to where I was with him to where I am. It is hard being vulnerable in the best of circumstances. And he's being vulnerable in front of a woman he's known for a minute and a half and America.
Yeah. He does say he wants to go to therapy, but he says he wants to go to couples relationship therapy. He hasn't said he wants to go to his own therapy, which any good couples therapist will tell him you need to be in your own therapy either first or at the same time as this.
Is Barry here? I want Barry to weigh in because...
You should go to work.
Okay, great. Guess you have no commitment
priorities.
To us. Fucking, that's, you know what? Kick her out of the Patreon. Give her $5
She's
back.
Done.
Whatever. I don't know. He says a lot of things that are hard to say. And I respect it.
And he's brave, too, because her response over soup lunch was not great.
I'm going off script. And that's where the episode ends. I'm not feeling great about anyone except for Johnny and Amy.
Yeah.
And they get the least airtime. And whenever it's Johnny and Amy, I'm like, Johnny and Amy are here.
Together.
Yeah. Oh, are you guys in love? Are you guys silly?
Well, you know what happened when they had that full 40 seconds of silence on the boat and also Clay making love to his soup? I was like, are they hurting for material? Like, can they can really afford 40 full seconds of this? They don't have other shit that...
Well, look at how long we talked about it.
It's wild. Usually, you know, I would think that they need to devote some more time to stuff, but maybe they just don't.
I have a statement.
Okay. I have ears.
I think this is the best season there's ever been.
You do?
I feel okay. Like it's up with the Shane Shake season. Was that 2 or 3?
I think that was...
2.
I don't know.
2?
2. I think it was 2.
This is a good season, but just to debrief, sort of circling back to what I said at the beginning, why are all the men problem solving, apologizing, taking accountability, showering with words of affirmation? Don't worry about it. I'm going to talk about it at therapy later because I don't know who I am anymore. This is pissing me off.
I wonder...
Okay, Brooke, I'll just wait. This is going to be a new rule for next time. No watching ahead. If you want to pay us to fucking tell this to you, you play by our rules.
That's right. We are the captains
now.
Yeah,
that's the new rule. You can't do that.
Touch this. Down.
Yeah, we're going to go and lock your Netflix even, and you can't watch ahead. That's a new rule moving forward. Take it or leave it.
That's it. And now Ashley's quitting Patreon.
I fucking take your money back. I'll foreclose on my house before you fucking give me a spoiler. This is chaos. Anyway, thank you for listening. We can't even talk. We can't talk anymore. We're going to get... they're going to... This is the longest episode ever. We can't talk anymore. We have to go watch episode 7.
Yeah, we got to go. Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. Bye.
Shut the fuck up.
Bye. Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.